Welcome to the Roto Report, and it's brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. And today we're joined by Sam Amico, NBA writer, FoxSportsOhio.com, to talk about the Cavaliers winning the draft lottery once again, Sam, 2 years in a row. Third time in the last 4 years.
You know what, Kenny? I kind of look at this as the first number one pick because you have a new manager, general manager, and it's his first.
Thank God.
Swing at it. Yes. Well, I think we both agree on that. Yes. Thank goodness. It's David Griffin's first swing at it, and we'll see what he can do.
All right. So here's Griff. He gets the full-time gig. They don't have a head coach, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But he's up there with Dr. J and some gorgeous blonde from Milwaukee. And,
yes, he was, by the way.
You know, it was funny, Sam. I was so into the draft and seeing where the Cavaliers were going to finish, and they were the final three. And I didn't even notice her until afterwards when I went back, and I tweeted that out. So that's how much I was into this draft lottery, and I'm sure Griff was the same way. Although, he was in awe of Dr. J, who he was standing next to, but he gets the number one overall pick, and that's a great thing. I mean, that means you have the pick of the litter. You could take anybody in the draft you want, but there's three guys that I think are worthy of that number one pick, and Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid, and Jabari Parker. So what do you think Griff does here? Is there somebody of those three that stands out in the Cavaliers' minds and in Griff's mind right now?
Well, you know, I think it's too early to say. I think we saw reports that Joel Embiid was going to be their guy. But you know what? It's too early to say it for sure. And if the Cavs do know for sure, they're not in any way, shape, or form, David Griffin, going to let that information get out because he's probably not even telling. I'm sure they haven't decided, you know, because you just got the number one pick, and they're not sitting there saying, well, Joel Embiid's our guy. You know, I don't think it's that clear cut because of the talent of Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins. I think that that's going to be a little bit of a debate. So I don't think that they have a clear cut guy. And it's, you know, I don't think, you know, in all honesty, Kenny, it's a lot different than last year's draft. If you're picking out of those three guys, I really don't think you can go too wrong. I think all three of them are going to be bona fide, really, really good NBA players, if not regular all-stars.
With Joel Embiid, do you think a lot of it has to do with his medical clearance and once they get the x-rays and MRIs, scans, whatever they do to find out how hurt he was, what that back looks like and everything along those lines? Is that the biggest factor maybe on deciding whether to take Embiid or not to take Embiid?
Well, I'll tell you what, if it doesn't, you know, if the negatives on his back and the x-rays and those things don't look good, then that narrows it down to two for you. Now, if they do turn out okay, his agent says they're just fine, he'll be happy to provide those to the Cavaliers, very confident in Embiid's back, you know, being fine, then it very well could be him. But I think a lot of it has to do with, well, what else are your plans for the summer? Those have to factor in there somehow. And, you know, a lot of that stuff's still kind of up in the air. But, Kenny, you know, and we'll probably talk about this a little later, but I think you also have to think that the potential is there for them to trade that pick. And they certainly will take some calls on that. In fact, they already taken quite a few. So, you know, that potential is there. If I had to guess, I think they'll pick, you know, use the pick. But it's hard for me to say who's going to be number one, probably, and probably won't be able to be easy for me to say until the middle of June.
FoxSportsOhio.com NBA writer Sam Amico is our guest here on the Roto Report. Sam, we've heard a three-letter word thrown quite a bit around by David Griffin. We've heard David Griffin use the word fit quite a bit. Who of the three, in your opinion, is the best fit for this team moving forward, and could that be one of the major contributing factors as to which way they go?
Yeah, you know, I think it could be. if you're asking me, I think Andrew Wiggins is probably the best fit. He's 6'7", you know, slasher, 6'8", slasher, outstanding athlete, has a huge upside, is the best wing defender, obviously. Embiid's not a wing defender, but Wiggins is a better wing defender than Parker. So he may be the best fit. It depends on what else you do, though. I really like Parker because I think right off the bat, he checks off more boxes when you're talking about next season. Who's going to help us more next season? I think that guy is Jabari Parker. Now, that doesn't mean he's the guy I would necessarily take, but right. I think that he is more NBA ready to make an impact. He reminds me a lot. I don't know about you, Ken. He reminds me a lot of Paul Pierce just in his style and the way he plays the game. Not real flashy, but very effective and a better athlete than he almost looks like. So, you know, that's going to be a tough call for them. But as far as an actual fit, it might be Wiggins simply because he's that type of, you know, slashing offensive player who can create on his own and is just so unbelievably talented athletically. I think that may be more what they're looking for, especially because he's a better defender on the wing, and they really need that.
I look at the three guys this way. I look at Andrew Wiggins as the best two-way player of those three. Does it at both ends, potential through the roof, just an absolute athletic freak. Okay, when you have a dad who played in the NBA and a mom who won silver medals in the Olympics, okay, the DNA is pretty good, all right? So he's an absolute freak, and he's the best two-way player. I look at Joel Embiid, maybe with the most upside, and he's that rim protector, that eraser at the rim that you know, they haven't had since maybe Larry Nance was on the Cavalier team, and he could impact the game on the defensive side right away and then grow into his offensive game, although he has a pretty nice touch for a big guy. But as you pointed out, Jabari Parker right now, he's your plug-and-play guy. He's the most ready to play next year for the Cavaliers. So as David Griffin decides what he wants to do here, he has to factor all that in there. And then let's go to the next step about the trade. We hear about Kevin Love. That's the name that keeps popping up as the guy maybe the Cavaliers are looking to get in a trade. Does it have to involve the number one pick for Kevin Love, or do you think they could make an offer packaging maybe a Deion Waiters and a Tristan Thompson and future number one picks, or does it have to be this year's number one involved with that for Minnesota?
Well, I think if you're asking the Timberwolves, they're going to go hard after the number one in any kind of deal like that, you know, and simply because they're going to lose Kevin Love, they're going to want their fans to get excited about something right away, which of course would involve the number one pick. You know, obviously from the Cavaliers' standpoint, and I'm sure we'll talk about this till, you know, we're blue in the face at some point, Kenny, is the fact that Kevin Love is not going to sign an extension or agree to one with any team before this season starts. He'd be foolish to do that from a business standpoint and you know, from a financial standpoint, just wouldn't make sense. So he's not going to do that. Now, the Cavaliers, you know, you have a lot of things to weigh. You know, if Miami doesn't win again, well, you're not going to get LeBron James back with Jabari Parker and Kyrie Irving or Andrew Wiggins and Kyrie Irving. You would get him back, and I know it's a long shot, but you have zero chance of getting him back without a guy like Kevin Love on the roster. You're not going to get Tristan Thompson and Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving and Jabari Parker do nothing for LeBron James, okay? If you have a guy like Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, then maybe, and Miami doesn't win it, and all those things factor up, well, then maybe you have a shot at LeBron. So, I mean, there are a lot of things to factor in. But here you go. Let's say you trade that number one pick. You trade, you know, what could be Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins, or Joel Embiid, and you go and get Kevin Love, and then you spend all year worrying whether or not he's going to re-sign and LeBron James doesn't come. You know, then it's become a huge risk. And you've kind of maybe erased part of your future there. So welcome to the world of NBA general managing, David Griffin. You've got a lot of things to think about. But I do think that the Kevin Love discussions will certainly be in play if they aren't already.
Is there another NBA player the caliber of Kevin Love that might be or might surface as a trade target, or is it just Kevin Love?
No, I think you could, you know, you talk to the Sacramento Kings about DeMarcus Cousins as well, you know, and I know he's had his issues, but last year he didn't have too many or really no noticeable issues, but he's a tremendous talent. There's no doubting about his ability, and you know he fits that Griffin style, which is, you know, kind of a drive and kick team. He's the perfect big man for that, if that's the philosophy they go with when they hire a coach. So, you know,
but is he worthy of the number one overall pick? I don't think he would be worthy of the number one overall pick. That other package I mentioned to you, for him, that's the way I would look at it if DeMarcus Cousins is the target, but I'm not giving up the number one overall pick for DeMarcus Cousins. Are you?
It would be tough, Kenny. You know, I mean, the one thing that DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Love both have that the number one pick does not have, they are proven commodities. And what a lot of times we get so wrapped up in the draft that, you know, we may make Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins. Because let me tell you something, Kenny, there are busts every year.
Yeah.
So a draft pick is very risky. It's not just talent. You hope the guy, okay, here's what you're hoping for. The guy with the talent comes in and is able to hit his upside despite all the distractions of the NBA. What if he comes here and mails it in because he's getting a paycheck? These are things you cannot predict, and they happen all the time. And that is what's scary about the draft. Now here, when you're talking Kevin Love or DeMarcus Cousins, you know what you're getting. You're getting 20, you know, whatever Kevin Love is, 26 and 12, 26 points, 12 rebounds a game. You know, DeMarcus Cousins, 20 and 12. So, I mean, you know these guys have been in the league a little while. They're young, and they've done it. Am I saying I'd definitely give up the number one pick for either one of them? Absolutely not. I would agree with you. But I think that you would have to consider that because there are huge risks in the draft, and we tend to, as fans and media members, tend to act like we're a lot like the scouts, to be honest with you, which is, well, we haven't seen these guys play yet. We're just going to assume they're going to be super-duper stars when they get to the league, but there are a lot of things to factor into it, and, you know, that's kind of the problem when your product is people, and that's the case here. You know, a lot of things can change when guys get to the NBA. I mean, I remember when Dwight Howard, when the Orlando Magic were debating, do we take Dwight Howard or Emeka Okafor, and everybody thought, well, the Magic got Dwight Howard, but the Bobcats got Okafor, who just won a championship. He's going to be great pro, and he's been a nice player, but really a role player. So you just never really know when you're talking about the draft.
Sam Amico is our guest. Sam, we've talked about, okay, who to draft if you're Griff. Maybe consider the trade if you're Griff. Now, what about the coach if you're Griff? Does this opportunity of having the number one pick increase the pool that they pick from because it's a more desirable job? And if so, give me some names you think might be more interested now than they were, say, 2 days ago.
Well, you know, I think that the interest for a lot of people was already there. Maybe a guy like Mark Jackson. Now, I've heard, you know, we've all heard that the Cavs really aren't after him, but people like that, I don't think that he's a top candidate, to be completely honest with you. You know, I think, in all honesty, we've heard the report from Adrian Wojnarowski that the Cavs are delving into the college ranks. I think that a guy that they're probably talking to, the name we all know, is Fred Hoiberg from Iowa State, who's been hot on the NBA radar. I think that he probably wasn't going to be very interested in this job before. I think he may be now, if that's the guy you want. So that's a name there as a guy who may not have been interested before, who is now. You know, the other thing is, the rest of the guys, George Karl, the Lionel Hollins, those guys are already interested in the job, so doing the number one pick or winning the number one pick did nothing to increase their interest because they were already vying for that job. And I think, obviously, Alvin Gentry is a name we've heard, the Clippers assistant, former Clippers head coach, former Suns head coach. I think he's very interested, as is. So, you know, it might be some of those college guys now you're calling around again. Are you calling Calipari again? You know, are you calling Tom Izzo again? I don't think that those guys would do it, but I do think a guy like Fred Hoiberg, who may not have had interest before, is probably going to be interested and very interested now.
He's a guy I love. He's my number one choice. But let me go back to something you said earlier during this podcast about LeBron's not coming here with the college player as opposed to Kevin Love. Is LeBron coming here with a rookie coach and somebody who's never coached in the NBA before, like a Fred Hoiberg out of college? Would that be appealing to him, or do you have to get somebody who's had experience in the NBA, like you were saying, with the players as opposed to the draft pick?
You know, honestly, Kenny, it seems to me that the coach is kind of, as long as it's not a coach, you know, a coach that the players don't like, that they don't want to play for, I don't think LeBron is expecting the Cavs to go out and get Phil Jackson, obviously, you know, or Mark Jackson or any of those guys who kind of have some buzz around them. You know, he'd have no problem with John Calipari, who's you know, they're tight, and he's never coached in the NBA. I don't think that would be as big of a deal to LeBron. I mean, obviously, he's played under Eric Spoelstra, who went, you know, who took the Miami job with absolutely no buzz. We were all like, who's this guy? So, and you know what? I'll tell you what, I've heard this a lot, and I think it's true, is that David Fizdale, the assistant in Miami, is also a candidate. So, you know, I just think as long as you get a coach who doesn't, who allows the players to play and play their games and doesn't really stifle them offensively, most players are fine with their coach in that regard, as long as he's not there to say, you know what, I know way more than you guys. He just needs to get his message across. So I don't think it would be if, you know, hey, we don't have any idea what LeBron's thinking, but my guess is, just based on what we've seen throughout the years in the NBA, Kenny, that guys aren't going to make their decision solely on a coach.
Okay, let me just correct one thing you said. Cal did coach in the NBA with the Nets, remember?
Oh, that's
back,
right.
96 through 99? So he
with
does
the Nets?
Have some,
yes,
yeah,
that's right.
And then
you're
he
right.
was an assistant with Philadelphia. So he does have some NBA experience, which, you know, along with his relationship with LeBron, would make it enticing, I'm sure, for LeBron if he ended up being the guy. But it'll be interesting to see if he would leave Kentucky, but to have the opportunity to have the number one pick with some young talent and maybe get LeBron James here, maybe that along with the, you know, the deep pockets of Dan Gilbert could lure him away from Kentucky and back to the NBA. So we'll see.
Well, let me tell you this, Kenny. Cal and Izzo were kind of like Gilbert was looking into them before the Griffin hire. So with Griffin here, I don't believe either of those guys are candidates any longer, just to throw that out there real quick, because that was kind of a Dan Gilbert thing before he hired David Griffin, and now he's kind of let David Griffin be in charge of that list. So I wouldn't get too excited about Cal is all I'm saying, but that's not what you were doing. I'm just saying for the Cavs fans in general.
Not a problem. We're talking with Sam Amico, outstanding NBA writer for FoxSportsOhio.com. All right, Sam, as we wrap up this podcast, how soon before we know who the head coach is, and how soon maybe do we get a feel for which way they're leaning as far as either A, keeping the pick, and then B, if they do keep it as opposed to trading it, which player they're leaning towards?
Well, you know, to answer your question, I think because of the situation with the number one pick and you know, some of the players already on the roster and their ability, the Cavs' ability to maneuver around a little bit with their cap space and the guys on the roster with Kyrie and Deion and Tristan, I think that they're not going to rush into hiring a coach. And I'll tell you what, it could wait until after the finals. You know, the draft's only a week after a possible game seven of the final, so it could be after the draft, because then, let's say you want a David Fizdale from Miami and Miami goes to the final. Well, you're going to have to wait until the end to interview. Well, let's say you want a Nate McMillan from the Pacers. You know, same thing. You got to wait. So Scott Brooks, what if Scott Brooks becomes available and you want to interview him? Or Frank Vogel? I mean, you have to wait these things out under that circumstance. So it could be.
So you're
be
telling
a
me they
bit.
Learned their lesson from a year ago, as opposed to making a knee-jerk reaction and bringing Mike Brown back it may be the exact opposite this year. They may wait as long as they can or have to, right?
Right, because you know why? It's an appealing job, and I think that it was last year, too, because they were in the same situation with the number one pick. But, you know, they actually made the hire before the lottery in Mike Brown. So I think you're right. It's not going to be a knee-jerk reaction. They're going to take their time, do all the due diligence, talk to everybody, figure out who they really like, and go from there. And if it's, you know, ideally you want your coach before the summer league. You want him to be able to institute his philosophy and go coach the team. And my guess is
do you
is
need
that
him before
happen.
The draft, though, Sam? Do you have to have your
no.
coach before the draft?
No, you don't need him before the draft, but you ideally you would like him before the draft. But again, if you want to interview all those guys, you know, like those assistants, Fizdale and maybe a Spurs assistant, you're going to have to wait a little bit, you know, before you make that decision. So you don't need him before the draft. I think you do need him before free agency, which is, you know, just a few days after the draft, and especially, definitely, before July 11th when the summer league starts.
All right, and as far as the players, Wiggins, Embiid, Parker, when do you think we might get a better idea of which way they're leaning, or do you think Griff is good enough where that poker face will stay there and we won't know until they announce it on June 26th?
Well, yeah, I think we're probably going to have a pretty good idea a day or two before, but no sooner than that, because it's in Griff's best interest and the Cavs' best interest to keep that under their hat. Because, you know, what if somebody wants to trade up and you know, finds out that the Cavs are going to take Wiggins and they think, well, we want Embiid, so we're not going to make that trade, you know. So it's in the Cavs' best interest to keep that under their hat, keep everybody else guessing, keep the other teams guessing as to what they're going to do. Can they do that? You know, with the nosy media, it's a difficult thing to do, but I think they'll certainly try. So, you know, hey, the draft's June 26th. My guess is we'll have a good idea of who they're going to take June 25th, but probably no sooner.
All right, Sam Amico, we appreciate the time and the insight. Everybody out there, you can check out what Sam does on a regular basis at FoxSportsOhio.com. And what's the Twitter handle, Sam?
Just my name, at Sam Amico, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, O as in Fox Sports Ohio.
So at Sam Amico, FSO, follow him on Twitter. Good stuff from Sam. Thanks for making time for us as always, Sam. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me, Kenny.
There you have it from Sam Amico. Hope you enjoyed the Roto Report, which was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs, 330-722-4444. Or you can check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.